And welcome to this edition of the Hagmann Report. It is Tuesday, November 25, 2025, 2 days away from Thanksgiving. Y'all ready for it? Yeah, get the family around and eat turkey, right? Or whatever your whatever it might be, and just terrorize the family with, if not with children, then with political talk. That's what we can do. I sent out an ex post. Randy Taylor was going to be joining me. He's ill tonight, and he let me know. So he's not going to be joining me. So there's that. I just want to get that out of the way first. So Randy Taylor will not be joining him. Not feeling too good. Not feeling up to it. So I said, just, you know, hey, whenever we can do this, whenever. And that's really, that's fine. That's the way it should be. All right. So there's a lot going on, right? Folks, where do you want to start? Really? If it seems like things are unraveling, and I got to tell you, they are. But what I wanted to do, and I want to welcome everyone in the Rumble chat. If you're watching this on Rumble or on X, thank you very much. I just want to start the title for today's show, all right, is Threats Identified But Ignored. Led us to what we're seeing today. Of course, that's not the actual title, but that's essentially what I'm getting at. And here's my thinking on this. If you look at what led us up to this point in the mishandling or the deliberate tanking of certain information by individuals within the government, then I think we can understand what's going to happen next. Because again, you know, fear of or uncertainty or anxiety of the future really, really is a problem for everyone. You know, you could be listening to this in Canada, you could be listening, wherever you might be listening to this, that is a big uncertainty. What's going to happen next? Well, I think we have a pretty decent idea, pretty good idea. And I saw, and somebody had asked this question on X again. And actually, this was across numerous platforms, and perhaps in different language, or the words were different, but the question remained the same. The bottom line, what's going to happen next? What do you think is going to happen next? And do you think that we can fix whatever is going on? I mean, that was the essence of the question. A lot of people are very concerned about how this nation, the United States, and really all Western nations are, where it's headed. There were two things that caught a number of things that caught my attention over this weekend. Obviously, last week, last Thursday, I left you with our investigation into the Islamic training, paramilitary training compound in Buffalo, right? That's how I left last Thursday, the last time you and I were together. So I want to address where I left off there, because there's a segment, a big segment, that I didn't get into. Now, in the run-up to that, hang on a minute. In fact, I'm going to go to my X account right now. Sorry, folks. I apologize. So I'm going to go to my X account right now. And my timeline, not that, you know, it's amazing, but yeah, look, I don't pay for, I guess you can promote posts and you can carry paid ad. I don't do any of that. I don't care. So although the number of, what do you call them, followers, I guess, quite frankly, the engagement, post-engagement is very limited. So there's that. So it's kind of like talking to yourself, which is fine. So I put up a couple of posts. And I want to take you back in time, just again, just to kind of follow up from Thursday, but also to give you an indication of, I think, what we can expect. Right. If you map this up. So earlier today, tonight, investigative report on Islamic paramilitary training in an urban area in New York State. And this goes back to 05, 2005, and 6 and 7 and 8. Okay. 8 is where the field investigation stopped. And why is this important to today? Because back then, the physical inspection of mosques, of schools, so-called schools and other locations, there was a lot of documentation that was found. Some of it was written in Arabic. Some of it was written in English. We turned a lot of it over. Well, we turned everything over. It kept copies to the FBI. But it mapped out exactly what they intended to take, was going to be taking place. And we're seeing some of the exact things taking place today, right today. I mean, this week, last week, in different cities that they mapped out. Imagine that. So my very first post on X was to let you know the topic for tonight. And then I had mentioned in there Randy Taylor to join. Again, he's ill, so keep him in your prayers, please. All right. Yeah, I mean, it's a transient thing. It's not something like, you know, I mean, it's not, he's going to be fine. He'll be coming back on some point here in the near future. All right. So, but the next post I had with it, with an image. Okay. And, I asked, who remembers the Lackawanna Six? And I mentioned this for a very specific reason. In 2001, they traveled to Afghanistan. Actually, they hopped, they made several stops in between from Buffalo to Afghanistan, right? From Buffalo to JFK and then from JFK to Pakistan and then ultimately Kandahar and then to an Al Farouk training camp in Afghanistan. So I just want to bring you or take you down my path in this Lackawanna case. We were doing surveillance and investigation into this group. And I wrote here, they were planning a large scale attack of a mall in suburban Buffalo, New York, although those plans were disrupted. It was after the Lackawanna Six, or the six people from that terror cell returned, like a couple returned early because they felt that, well, they were on the radar of the U.S. Okay. But I think three, maybe four of the six remained there. But then there were a whole an incredible number of others that joined them from Western New York. Now, again, when you hear this location, this is Western New York. This is in the suburban Buffalo area. But please remember this. This is pretty much any city, any urban area across the U.S. And why it matters today is because everything that they planned, they wrote about, they trained for is happening today. With the added benefit of the Council on American Islamic Relations, really an arm of the Muslim Brotherhood. Okay. Now, you know, people who say that have a tendency to get sued, but that's pretty much the way it is. And the Council on American Islamic Relations care, of course, the unindicted co-conspirators and the Holy Land Foundation. Okay, hold on to that thought. But here's the money quote in this. They were planning a large-scale attack of a mall in suburban Buffalo, New York. Now, here's what I didn't say. Well, didn't hear about it? No, that's because the police FBI didn't warn us, not to preserve investigative integrity, but to avoid advancing Islamophobia. It was a conspiracy of silence. I was in the police. Well, that's, no. I was with a member of a certain police department in Western New York. And I remember this conversation very distinctly. I was doing some cases up there. I was investigating, I had a pretty large fraud investigation going on, but investigating the Lackawanna terror cell. And the officer said to me, "Have you been read in on what's going on in Lackawanna with the Lackawanna cell?" And I said, "I think so." He said, No. I mean, for this coming weekend." Now, my conversation, and I checked my notes on this, it was on a Wednesday. I said, "What do you mean this coming weekend?" I'm not going to give the dates. I'm not, just not going to do it. And I said, what's up? He said, "Well, the information that, or and forgive me because some of this information is still under wraps, okay?" the federal law enforcement, along with the local law enforcement, were conducting surveillance of communications. You know what I mean, right? And they discovered that the six were planning to attack by way of, you know, mega death, gun by gunfire, the Galleria Mall in Buffalo, New York. The FBI and the police department, the chief of police in this particular jurisdiction, said, they told everyone, "You cannot say a word about this." And I was thinking too, you know, if you think back with the FBI, the 1993 World Trade Center bombing, that wouldn't have really happened had the FBI not given the explosives. I'm thinking, boy, how's this going to turn out? Do you get my drift? You know where I'm coming from. And it was kind of funny too, because although Buffalo is like 90 miles from my home in Western Pennsylvania, and I would often go back and forth, you know, on a daily basis. I'd leave my home at 5:30, 6 in the morning, or even earlier, and get to Buffalo, you know, an hour and a half, and leave like 9, 10 o'clock at night, and then just do the same thing the next day. Sometimes I would stay over during this investigation, right? And it was interesting because I had told my wife, I said, "Well, you know what? How about this? You and my daughter can, I'll drop you off on Saturday." Now, this is Wednesday night. I'll drop you guys off at the mall on Saturday, and you guys can go shopping. There was an event coming up, a family event. And then I heard this. And the FBI says, "You cannot tell a soul, including your family." Yeah. So No, I believe me, I told them. And I told everyone I could. What would you do? I'm just asking. Knowing what you know today, what would you folks do? Put it in the chat on Rumble. And consider that. And by the way, I could have gotten arrested. Yeah. So there's that. And then I want to point one other thing out to you. It was during this period of time, the other one too, Eric the Tech, it was, I don't know. I don't even know how to tell you where to go on this, but in November 2004, and again, look, you got, I got 28,000 plus, 28,600 followers. Post engagement on this is, let me just check. Because again, think about this too. It's like you and I, as conservatives, as Christians, our voices are not being heard. We're still being censored. We're still being shadow banned. It's, hey, you post a recipe or you post a stupid ding dong TikTok thing and it goes viral, but, and heaven forbid that you post anything serious and, or, you know, mention the word Islamophobia, right? But frankly, I, you know what? I don't care. I just don't care. If I'm talking to you, I care about that. This, not so much. So anyway, November 2004. So during this period, so running up to this period and during this period and through, it was like overlapping investigations. And I was introduced to Muzamil Mo Hassan. And his, there was another gentleman, I'm not going to name his name. Remember when I told you that I had two FBI agents come to my house, and this is on Thursday. Okay, from Thursday's program. Remember when I told you I had two FBI agents come to my house and put two, or actually there were four photographs. They showed me four photographs, put them on my dining room table. And said, you know, you managed to pretty much piss off a lot of people, a lot of people, with your report on Jamaat al-Fukra. Okay. So they were sitting there, the FBI, two agents. And they said, you really should increase your security. And I said, well, you know, why? And it's because, you know, of course, Jelani, the Pakistani sheikh in Pakistan, is pretty pissed off at you. You got other people so pissed off at you. You got Lackawanna people pissed off at you. Got all these people so angry with you. Listen, okay, why? You know, I'm just doing what I need to. I'm turning all the information over to you guys. I said, yeah, well. So anyway, one of the pictures was Mo Hassan. The FBI, the one agent said, you see these people around you, you better take precautions because they're not, I mean, they're angry. Okay. And again, one was Mo Hassan. I'm not going to name the other three. So 2006 through 2008, intermittently and throughout that period, I was looking into Bridges TV. Why? Because suddenly this Islamic television station appeared out of flipping nowhere. I thought that was rather interesting. So I was poking into their programming. I was poking into their funding. I was poking into their, poking on this chest. And yeah. So I investigated the seed money for the station. In the late 2008, I really pressed Hassan about his ties to foreign terrorist organizations. I wanted to know. Because I couldn't believe that that existed in the vacuum. And at the time, I was working with Paul Williams and working alongside of Dr. Paul Williams, the author of Day of Islam and some other books, Operation Gladio. Okay. Anyway. And some other individuals. So I was looking into this, and I was finding connections all over, actually international. And as I wrote in my ex post or whatever you call that, and a couple of the two FBI agents. But what I didn't write was the fact that they said you better up your security, and these people are coming after you. So you remember the picture of my car going on fire. Look, I don't know who did. I mean, I don't know. Maybe it was just bad gas. Who knows, you know? But it was shortly after that visit, I had to buy a new car. And then about 2 months, maybe, I don't know, maybe 6 weeks later, old Mo got really pissed off at his wife in the studio. Stabbed her 40 times, 40, count them, 40 times, and then decapitated her in the studio. And then afterwards, and you folks, look, this, I don't think this was made public except in court, and then used her head as a soccer ball in the studio. He's scheduled to be let go in 8 years from this year, 2034. Just saying. That's what you get. I guess that's long enough, right? Yeah, from 2005 to 2034. Yeah, is that? Help me. Do you do the math? It could be earlier. Or I'm sorry, 2009. It was on February 12th, 2009. It was a couple of days before Valentine's Day. That much I remember. It's 2009. It was February 12th. Yeah. He stabbed his wife 40 times. Decapitated her and then used her head as a soccer ball. Go figure. So why did I bring this up? Because it's all, you know, shut up, man. It's history. Okay, the push for Islamic outreach, and I remember so many things. I'm going to tie some things in together tonight. Here's cut one, clip one, Ace Lyons. You know the guy, James Ace Lyons. I want you to watch this. This is what he said about Obama. And again, think about what he said about Obama in the context of what I just told you. Everything going on. And what's going to be happening in the future. So here is, right now, here is Admiral James Ace Lyons. And this is about Obama, but it's about just over a minute long. It'll be in the show notes at HagmanPI.com. Watch this.
They funded all of President Obama's illegal programs while at the same time ignoring over his 14 impeachable offenses. This is unconscionable. So, where do we go from there? You know, we have, as President Obama has said, he wants to fundamentally transform America. But what is it? Well, let me tell you. It's un-American. It's anti-Western. But pro-Islam, pro-Iranian and pro-Muslim Brotherhood. You have to ask yourself, why would an American president embrace the Muslim Brotherhood, whose creed is to destroy us from within with our own miserable hands and replace our Constitution with draconian Sharia law?
It's a good question, isn't it? Now, again, you might say, well, all right, that sounds nice. Where's your proof? Hang on a second. All right, stand by. See, I put my notes now on the computer, the electronic notes, and you know what? I like notes. Remember, there's two things I remember about Obama's rise and then election as president. Well, more than two, but I went over his early years about his ties to Bill Ayers and Bernadine Dorn and how they would babysit their children, Obama's and Big Mike's and Barry's children. I told you about Khalid El Mansour. It's from Thursday. I'm not going to repeat all that, but I told you about Columbia University, Occidental College, the Islamic roommates, the Industrial Acres Fund or Areas Foundation, tied to Saul Alinsky, and then of course Hillary Clinton doing her thesis on Saul Alinsky and the rules for unrules for radicals and so on and so forth. You get the idea, right? And about the Woods Fund and about how that was tied into Obama and financing certain things and all back then. And all this is do not. So Obama has ties with Carl Davidson, met him, and Carl Davidson is a rather interesting individual because he traveled to Cuba. Now remember that because it's going to come into play here momentarily. He traveled to Cuba and he trained under the revolutionaries in Cuba, as did several of many others, but several under the umbrella of Obama. In through that, and of course, I spoke about on Thursday the SDS, the Weather Underground, the Committee of Correspondence for Democracy and Socialism, which, these are all connected. So you have this communist connection to a Muslim agenda, right? All right. Now, remember what happened. This rise of Obama out of nowhere, seemingly out of nowhere. He does a great speech at the Democratic Convention as a junior senator from Illinois. And then as the same junior senator of Illinois, he's appointed as a member of the Lugar Commission, goes over to, they send him over to, guess where? Russia for the drawdown of nuclear weapons. Isn't that interesting? Of course, the Russians had a problem when Obama flew with the Lugar delegation. They were leaving. They stopped in Perm. And guess what? Obama's papers didn't quite check out. His U.S. passport. And there's only, I think, maybe two newspapers that made mention of this. And they only gave him probably an inch or inch and a half of print about that little 3-hour ordeal. Ordinarily, when a foreign country stops, you know, a delegation and says, hey, we got a problem here because your papers don't match up. Who are you? Well, guess what? The Russians knew that Obama was not who he said he was. You can do the research on it. I wrote about it. I think some of that stuff's still out there. All right. But then all of a sudden, bada bing, bada bang, you know, he's in as president. All right. So what just happened with President Trump recently? A lot, obviously. But think back to Obama again. Think back to things, for example, like during his political career, overtaking Hillary, right, as the candidate, whatever candidate for, well, for president, obviously, but as a candidate for president, how the hell did that happen? And everyone was saying, oh, it's a coup within the Democratic Party. You remember that, right? If only. But Obama got in. And where did he speak first? His first overseas trip and his first overseas speech chat. Where did he speak first? Now, again, I'm on a 10-second delay, so bear with me. Well, I can tell you. You can answer, and I'll find out. I mean, I'll see. Obama, remember the Cairo speech? That was on June 4th of 2009. Of course, he was sworn in January of 2009. But his really first big speech was the Cairo speech. A New Beginning, it was the title of his speech. And Egypt, at the time, Mubarak was president of Egypt, and he was not happy. Why? Because Obama was pandering to an internal enemy within Egypt, and that internal enemy was the Muslim Brotherhood. So, what did President Trump just do? He wrote an executive order. And I should add this. All of these executive orders, you know, for all the good that they're doing now, they can be undone with a stroke of a pen, and most assuredly will be. So they need the Republicans in charge right now. I think they're in charge. You really can't tell. In both the House and Senate, need to grow some balls and put this into law, codify these EOs. So the very group that Obama spoke to and spoke about and gave outreach to was a Muslim Brotherhood. And that was through the Cairo speech. Now, this is important too. Before his election, Obama publicly described the Muslim Brotherhood as the fathers and founders of political Islam and Islam, period. But then he kind of couched that. He said, well, they're kind of untrustworthy. And yeah, they do harbor anti-American views, but hey, that's over there. But that changed. Remember the Arab Spring? Mubarak was outed, tossed out in 2011. Hillary Clinton played a role in that. Obama played a role in that. Hillary Clinton in 2011... began engagement with the quote peaceful Muslim Brotherhood members committed to nonviolence. And she said that was essential to that word democracy. Man, that word gets tossed around without anyone knowing what the hell it means. I could go on, but you get the idea, right? So the stage is set there with respect to Obama. and his commitment to Islam, and not just any Islam, but the real ideologically driven Islam. And of course, Marxist, Maoist ideology. So there's your red, green alliance. But then go back and say, how in the hell? What happened here? Because we thought Hillary Clinton was the next up. Okay. Now, I'm going to, before I get into that, I would do want to finish with Thursday. I was looking for the original article in the Islamic Post, that newspaper. Remember that picture of me holding the younger me, much younger me, holding that Islamic Post? Boy, my wife saw that. She said, man, that was you. You certainly didn't age well. Anyway, the Islamic Post newspaper. I couldn't find that exact one. So on the Internet Archive, or this non-functional website, the International, hang on, I get it. I'm going to be very clear on this. Oh yeah, it is the they changed that. Okay, it's really the International Quranic Open University. They changed the URL, but the old as it stood religious statement still exists. So this is page 2 on my show notes. If you want to toss that up there, Eric the Tech, and the top picture is missing. Okay, and the reason, well, the top picture is nothing but a picture of His Eminence, Sultan Mahmudin Sheikh Sayed Mubarak Ali Jilani. I don't know, 17 names he's got, right? So that was a picture there. And then his statement right below that. And it begins with exposing roots of terrorism in the U.S., Now, remember what I said on Thursday. Did surveillance, did investigation, did interviews, got film, got pictures, stuff, military age, black Muslims and Muslims in the foothills of the Catskills walking around with AK-47s and taking shipments of arms and ammunition, explosives, and doing all sorts of maneuvers in the woods using a school bus as target practice, and all this turned over to the FBI, and nothing, zero, nada. That's what I said Thursday. And still true today. It's Tuesday, but it's still true. Except I didn't add this. This is the religious statement. You know what? This rambles. I don't know. It's like the mother of religious statements. Now, at the time, I was consulting with, I'm not even sure I know who this individual is, CP. He was doing some work on the internet side. My group was doing the work on the ground. Okay. And we froze our noogies off. We sweated our noogies off. That's how long this thing ran. I mean, we sat seriously, because once we got into the woods and got near the perimeter of the compound, you didn't dare move. You didn't dare move, because somebody would see you. And let me tell you something, you got AK-47s and guys walking around looking for somebody to shoot, and you're out in the middle of friggin' nowhere. You really don't want to get seen, right? So again, gave all of that stuff. Well, actually, the FBI took the pictures, negatives, and video, and we had a few. You saw a few. So it was the ink on the report wasn't even dry, and all of a sudden, this gets published in the Islamic Post newspaper, as well as this website. So at the time I had and it's not there anymore, homelandsecurityus.com. And anyway, he says, look, you're the terrorist, basically. Somewhere in there, he said, let's see here. He calls me a liar. He's pissed off. We're the actual perpetrators of international terrorism, is what he said, is what he wrote. And again, look, I'll put the link up. You can dirty your electrons by going there and stuff. But the bottom line is, it's just on and on and on and on how great they are and how bad we are. And me, because of my signature was on that report. So look at the FBI today. I was talking with someone earlier today who was talking about the FBI and mentioned an agent that appears, a female agent that appears on Fox News, and saying, you know what, man? Former agent, whistleblower now, I believe. I'm not even sure who he was referring to, but the story is really there were threats made in the Biden regime, and agents complied to the threats. And the threats were, you don't vote for Trump, you vote for Biden or Harris or whatever, Biden, Harris, or whoever. Anyway, so what do you expect? All right. So look at what's going on today with the FBI, with the, you know, gee whiz, the Department of Justice. Tell me again how many arrests. That's right. Tell me again what happened to, let's see, Comey was indicted by a federal grand jury, and then, doggone it, wouldn't you know it? Damn. Judge says Lindsey Halligan, as the interim AG, was not, no, she wasn't, the appointment is invalid. So therefore, not all of the things that she, not all of the criminal charges that she handled, but just two cases, Comey and Tish James, out the door, right? Now, of course, it's an activist judge, and this can be appealed, and it is being appealed, but wait a second. Really? I mean, so, okay. And then you hear on the news, depending on which you watch, where you watch, and whatever. Oh, this is a weaponization of the legal process. This is lawfare. This is a weaponization of legal process against these true heroes, Comey and Brennan and Tish James. And this is a retribution for what they did to Trump. Shut up. All right. But see, again, arguing that or debating that is like, y'all getting tired of that? I mean, I know I am. It's like, seriously, when is somebody, anybody, going to handle this crap? From my experience, I got to tell you, I'm out of people to call. You can't call the cops. You can't call the state cops. You can't call the DA's office. You can't call the FBI. You saw what happens when you, FBI, you know. So what do you do? The answer is simple. You got to clean the house, or actually you got to burn the house down. I'm not sure there's any cleaning the stink out of the house that we have today. I'm not sure there's anything worth saving in the FBI that we have today. I'm not sure there's anything worth saving in the friggin' Department of Injustice or the Department of screw ups that we have today. Quite frankly, the entire judicial tyranny that's taking place. I'm not sure we have any good judges anymore, because now you have these Soros backed in some cases, not all of them, or these ideological driven judges who decide, well, you know what? Yeah, you know what? The guy was in jail 72 times, or he was charged with, yeah, he was before a court 72 times. And then he committed this murder or this whatever attempted murder. So, but we'll just put him on house arrest. I mean, seriously, how can you fight that? That's what we're looking at today. So, so you have everything just falling apart. So now this, I'm going to, not now, but if you hang loose, I'm going to show you some other, I don't think I showed these publicly before, some stuff that relates to what I just spoke to. I'll show that after this, because this, I think, really kind of drills down on what happened and by who and how many people, by a show of hands or by yes and the... That's the only way I can tell. By a yes. How many people in the chat? How many of you have seen the Laura Logan interview? Episode, I think, 65 or 45. See, it's 65. Of the election theft. And if you know, you know. So let me know here. How many of y'all have seen that? This is going to help me if you answer, because I do want to address this. I think it's important. I think it's extremely important to address this. Hang on, let me. What happened to my feed here? How come I didn't? Nope. Yes. Nope. Thank you. I saw it. Nope. So it's kind of like, it seems like it's a 50-50. Split. But hang on a minute. What the heck is going on? Help me. Okay. So it seems like this is, it's 50-50 split. Let me just tell you this. If there's anything that needs to be looked at, if there's anything that needs to be posted, if there is anything that really needs to be understood, most importantly understood, it is this broadcast, the broadcast, Laura Logan's broadcast, Stolen Elections. Gary Bernstein, he was a CIA officer, I mean, a high-level CIA officer for 24 years. And then an author, researcher, Ralph Pizzullo. Ralph Pizzullo wrote the book Stolen Election. And think about this. This is extremely important. All of the information laying out exactly the who, what, when, where, and how. Ralph Pizzullo, who's written many books, and his publisher, Skyhorse Publishing, wouldn't publish this book at that time, or there was a problem with that. And this interview serves to give you a verbal update over what's in that book, their investigative findings. Censorship alive and well. That book just came out in September, I should add. Another thing. I mentioned Cuba, right? Yeah. Keep that in mind. I'm going to play a couple of clips here. This deserves to be spread far and wide. This is not mine. This is Laura Logan's. She's got a pin to her profile. I like Laura. She's been on the show. And of course, I think Gary appeared with Alex Jones. I'm not sure if it was recent or before this, but I think Laura does a good job in terms of getting that information out there. So can we go to video 2, if we can. Now, the posting has timestamps. I told you who Gary Bernstein and Ralph Pizzullo were, are. And in this interview, which lasts, I think it's, yeah, lasts 2 hours and 15 minutes, long time. But they tell you, Gary tells you, pretty much everything you need to know. But I still buy the book, because it's not really everything. Think Patrick Byrne. Think of everything that had gone on. But take it back, not just to 2020, not to 2016. Take it all the way back to, guess when? 2008. And who was running in that election in 2008? You got it. Barack Hussein Obama, the Muslim, Marxist, communist, Maoist faggot. Sorry. Got no filter. Don't want it. So, Eric the Tech. I introduced him for you. Laura Logan's going to be on the right of your screen. Gary on the far left, and then Ralph in the center, just to give you an idea. And they talk. I had to watch this like 3 times because I wanted to make sure I got everything. Then I ordered the book. So go to 434 if you don't mind in video 2. And by the way, this video will be linked in the program description box at Hagman, Hagman Report, HagmanPI.com, whatever my website is. You know what it is. Right? So this is really video 2 cut at 4 minutes, cut into this at 4 minutes and 34 seconds. The discussion about the stolen election investigation. This is important to listen to. And you know what? People say, man, you play, why do you play? Because they can say it a hell of a lot better than I can. And you know what? If you're sitting here watching, listening to this right now, might as well. So you don't have to go grab for it, but I would grab for it anyway. And this would be a good video to play for your entire family this Thanksgiving. Because I'm just going to hit a couple of parts on here. 434, you can start in this video. And that section is the stolen elections investigation. Here it is.
We have been working together a long time. You're a fabulous author. I mean, but you've done a gazillion books.
Thank you.
It's like, what is it, like 60?
No.
30.
30.
Yeah. I know. You've done 30 books. You're a great writer.
Thank you.
A brilliant man, actually.
Thank you.
Not as wild and crazy as Gary.
Well, not on the surface.
And author of a very famous book, Joe Breaker, which actually was featured on 60 Minutes.
Yes.
When I was a 60 Minutes correspondent.
Yes.
And I was really jealous because I wanted to tell that story. I haven't been in Afghanistan. But you didn't pick me, Gary. You picked somebody else at 60 Minutes to tell that story.
I was on NBC. It was the very first interview. It was an NBC interview. And I did CBS. But you did the interview with Hank Crumpton years later in the Panjshir. And I watched that. And you interviewed Amar Lasalle during that. It was a great interview. It was a great show.
Thank you. That one is very close to my heart. Hank Crumpton, former CIA.
He's my boss.
Yes. And Amar Lasalle, the great ally of the U.S. in Afghanistan, head of their intelligence services later. And then, of course, betrayed by the Biden administration.
Right. He left as the vice president. Right.
Yeah, left as the vice president and still fighting. Right. Been fighting since day one, in spite of the fact that Lloyd Austin and Tony Blinken and Biden and all the rest of them lied and said that all the Afghans gave up, right, which is one of the most disgraceful things that they did, in addition to all the other things like serving people up to their terrorist enemies to be slaughtered.
Okay, can you pause that for a second? Okay, and I just want to point one thing out here. The reason I left the reason I didn't advance any further than that is she is talking to Gary, the CIA officer who was in charge of making the friends, okay, of the Afghan people, okay, and the Afghan people who were working for the U.S. Now, boy, so you had Bush really start everything. You had Obama continue, but also making side deals and superintended the Arab Spring concurrent with what was going on in Afghanistan. And you got to think about this. Okay. And really ratcheted up the backflow of money. And of all the people, Obama did import some terrorists and, but more importantly, funded terrorist activities with our tax dollars into the West, or into Europe and North Africa. All right. And remember, it was during this time, Benghazi took place. Now, Laura Logan knows, I mean, she knows pretty much everything. And in fact, I think she addresses Benghazi in here. All right. But that lays the ground. That's why I left that in there, because that's really important. Telling you, they know what they're talking about. So again, think of Obama as this Manchurian candidate into the U.S. and then advance to Biden, a stolen election in 2020. Well, first of all, how did Biden get in there? Okay, as opposed to Hillary, you got to look at that. And then you had also, how did Biden really win the election? You got to question that. I mentioned Cuba from Obama's past, his connections to the Muslim Brotherhood, which are not addressed here. Okay. So all of this. And then, of course, 2020, the Russiagate whole thing with Russiagate, and then Biden coming in. And what did Biden do? He withdrew from Afghanistan. Well, okay, so you had a really effed up situation in Benghazi. You had a superbly effed up situation with Biden. Well, it really wasn't Biden, right? Because So who was kind of managing that? On the outside, it was Obama. On the inside, it was the Biden, auto pen people, right? So put all of this together. Consider this, not every incident as a standalone thing, because it's not. It's like this. You go to the movies, right? And the movie has, or you go to a play. Maybe more appropriate, you have different acts of the play. These are extension of those acts. So continue with this for a little bit, a couple of minutes, and this is kind of lays the foundation for the investigation. Go ahead.
Hunted down and tortured. Yeah, just a little bit bitter about that. Still waiting.
Me too.
Still waiting.
Me, I'm bitter
as
well.
A lot of people.
Yeah. So, but Jawbreaker was the story of how you went into Afghanistan with a small team of clandestine operators and really laid the foundation for the Afghans to move on Kabul and the U.S. bombing campaign. And it was an amazing book, incredible story, what you did. And you and Ralph teamed up for that.
Yes.
And you have, so you've known each other a long time now.
Yes, we have.
How many years, Ralph?
Yeah, since 2005.
20 years.
20 years.
Okay, 20 years.
Yeah.
And now you have a new book out.
Yes.
Which is really one of the most, probably one of the most, I don't think it's hyperbolic to say it's one of the most important books ever written in the history of this country. Because, and I have it right here, Stolen Elections, The Takedown of Democracies Worldwide.
Yep.
This is a subject very close to my heart because I spent two and a half years after 2020.
So I just want to tell you, I do have the digital copy. I prefer hard copies of books. That's just me. And I'm waiting on the hard copy to come. But I'll tell you this. The information contained in that book has now been made known to President Trump. And you may think, well, wait a second. Just only now? You know all the talk about Trump's not happy with Susan Wiles and all that. I'll tell you how this all connects. And even Cash Patel, quite frankly, Bondi, I hear all this stuff. They're not, is it true? I don't know, because I don't trust anybody, any secondhand information. I just don't trust it. So I hope it's true, because otherwise you might as well just, practice yoga because you're going to need to be able to kiss your back end goodbye, especially when the midterms happen, and especially when the next presidential election happens. Have you thought that far ahead? I know you guys have. When I say guys, I mean ladies, guys, and you know. All right. Now, again, go ahead and continue with this just for a few more minutes here, minute or two, because this is, and get the book. Get the book. I'm telling you, if you do nothing else, look, I don't make any money by even saying this, but that's a great book. It's an eye opener. So, okay, continue with this.
20 election. I love to say this for all those FBI people and political people out there and intelligence traitors in the CIA. The 2020 election was stolen. It was stolen. Yeah. We knew it was stolen. We watched in real time as you stole it, and we were never afraid to say it. So I just have to get that out. It feels so therapeutic. And so I spent 2.5 years investigating that, learning about it, learning to understand how it's done. Mm-hmm. And much of what I was tracking, you two have documented.
Yes.
And collated all that evidence.
Mm-hmm.
And put it not just in this book, but taking it to...
I already said by the book. Can you advance that to 10:04? Go ahead.
Inside those machines.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, prepare to transform your look.
I can't say, Laura, I'm not going to sell your product. If you advance it beyond the ad in line read. Because I'm going to tell you why. Folks, another question to the chat. Did you see the multi posts by Emerald Robinson? I don't care what you think of her. I mean, is the information true? Oh boy. And it's verified by Patrick Byrne. It's verified by others. And Elon Musk even had something to say about it. Because Elon Musk was involved in certain meetings at the White House. And remember, I said, I don't know if this is going to come up in this section. Probably not. But anyway, we'll get to all that. And then kind of, I hate to use this phrase, circle back, Jen Psaki. Go back to what led up to this and the warnings. Because you might say, well, wait a second. You were talking at the beginning of the show about the investigations you did. What the hell has that got to do with all this? Hang on. So if you ready? Go ahead.
Election. Hugo Chavez wins the election, the referendum, by a slim margin, and he is thrilled. Castro's thrilled. So they give these engineers $200 million, and they say, okay, perfect this system, and let's try to apply it to some elections in Latin America. And they do that, and they end up in the early 2000s, one election after another, a leftist leader in Latin America is elected.
Yes.
Evo Morales in Bolivia, mm-hmm. Daniel Ortega in Nicaragua, mm-hmm. et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
The Kirchners
in Argentina.
Very important.
This is a dream for Castro, right? I mean, he's been supporting guerrilla movements for years, trying to establish a base in these countries. And here you just do it with electronic voting machines.
And nobody
sees it.
Nobody says a word.
Nobody knows because
nobody
understands the technology.
Nor can they read the code.
Nor can they read the code.
Nor do they have access to the code.
That's right. So what happens is that these three gentlemen start a company in the United States.
Which three gentlemen?
The same three Venezuelan engineers.
The same three engineers.
Antonio Mujica, Roger Peñate, and Alfredo Anzola.
Yeah.
And
Antonio Mujica, Roger Peñate.
Piñate
and
Antonio
Anzola, and they were Venezuelan Americans.
Pause it right there. Yeah. Go back and put those mug shots back on. You want to know who? Those three that you saw. That's right. You don't have to. It's okay. You can watch the video. All right. So those three, they developed, here's the bottom line. They developed the software. Engineered backdoors into our elections. And I'm kind of maybe getting ahead of myself. I don't care. The hotbox, the switching station, if you will, the headquarters of this electioneering, in particular for the U.S. elections in 2020 and 2022, was in Serbia. In 2024, in Serbia. Remember that. Now, when you saw the cast of characters brought in through this voting system, oh boy, I'm going to lose everything I got because they're going to sue me now, right? I don't care. You think I give a doggone? No, I don't. So, okay. I'm just saying what they're saying, right? I'm just saying what's published. So have at it. Good luck in getting anything out of me. So one more piece on this. Go to, if you don't mind, let's see here. Because Emerald lays it up pretty well, but I want you to hear this or see this. 4413 mark. The 4413 mark on this. This is about foreign influence in U.S. intelligence. Oh. Remember, I have talked about Brennan. Remember that? CIA. Station chief over in Saudi Arabia. Brennan, the same guy that voted for a communist in the 1980 election. The Saudi Arabian station chief who allegedly, purportedly, seems like he converted to Islam, or at least adopted that ideology. And also, one of the spies who lied. That's right. Okay, 4413, please.
So I want to talk more about that, but Gary, what did you want to say?
Not sure what the point was.
Okay, so I want to raise 2 points related to that.
One, go back. I'll remember it in a few minutes. Sure.
Okay. One is, let me find this here. I love how it's the same patterns always, right? Because when something is true and you have to create false lines of attack, they run out of false lines of attack. So they keep repeating them over and over again.
The point I was going to make was there are people in our intelligence community and our diplomatic community that are paid agents of the Cubans and the Venezuelan regime. We have been penetrated at a level never witnessed in our history.
Way farther than happened during the
Cuban
Cold War.
Intelligence Service and the Venezuelan, using Venezuelan resources, not only were they collecting intelligence on the United States, they established diplomatic and intelligence dominance over the United States during the past 20 years. Dominance. They had so many sources in so many sides in both political parties. Not just the Democrats, the Republican Party and political operators that are operating right now, so many of them are on their payroll.
Do you know
that
who
is
they
shocking.
Are?
We all know some American, of them are. Yes, we know they are.
These American traitors?
We know who they are. And guess what? The government knows who they are, too, now.
A couple of them are in jail.
Look, my business partner and I are the ones that turned in Ambassador Manuel Rocha, who is probably the most senior American ever convicted of espionage. He was arrested a couple of years ago. He's U.S. ambassador in Bolivia. He was the chargé in Argentina years ago. I knew him 20 years. But we knew he was in contact with members of the cartel, Del Solis. We went to the FBI and sat down with them and fought with them and pushed and pushed and pushed. And they went after him. And they had a FBI officer pose as a Cuban intelligence officer. And in 6 hours of videotape, three 2-hour meetings, he confessed, "Yeah, I'm working for you. I hate the Americans. They're the enemy." He's an American ambassador. They're the enemy regime, and I've been in the belly of the regime to destroy them for Fidel and our Cuban brothers. What a piece of shit. And he's in prison right now.
And who was he working for? Which administration?
So, U.S., did you folks, I mean, before watching this video, do you remember that? Do you know that? Do you know the history behind that U.S. ambassador? You can research it. I'm telling you what, it's important because it does connect a lot of dots. So Cuba, Venezuela, in addition to they're pushing this Marxist communist ideology, there's also the component of drugs. There's also the component of sex trafficking, human trafficking, and especially sex trafficking. So let me ask you a question. When you see this buildup of this big buildup of naval assets in the Caribbean, is this all just about, you know, taking out a few of these narco terrorist boats? Oh yeah, it's about that. But is that all? No, it's never the entire story. Am I making sense? Does it seem like, wait a second. So the elections in Venezuela were tossed to a Marxist, a communist. Of course, Cuba. Cuba's Cuba, okay? And remember, what did Obama do with Cuba? Didn't he want to make nice, restore relations and get all lovey-dovey and, that's right, he did. Where do you think some of the very highest level people that you see rioting on the streets, not rioting, but organizing the riots on the streets, where do you think they train? Cuba. Not all of them. Some of them. Okay. Are things coming? So the chaos, this open border, where did the majority, not all, obviously, where did the majority of these illegal invaders come into the country? I mean, what was their demographic? A lot of them were Cubans and Venezuela, big time Venezuela. Under who? Potato Head, right? Hey, it wasn't him. People like Valerie Jarrett and others. And then let's take it to the state level. You have three border states down there. Three border states to Mexico, allowing the flow to come into the interior of the U.S. Huh. You think some of the state elections down there and some of the county elections weren't thrown, or some of the people already in office, including the sheriffs and law enforcement down there from cartels, specifically the Venezuelan branch? Do you think that maybe they have been threatened, compromised, paid off, or whatever, and there's a relation? Yes, yes, and yes. What about the contested election in Maricopa County, right? What's going on there? It kind of makes you wonder, doesn't it? But when you watch this, you listen to that. Now things are starting to make sense. How did Obama really beat Hillary Clinton? This goes all the way back to that time. Those three mutts that you saw in there and others. Does it make sense now? All right. I'll tell you what we'll do. Now, this is going to get a little clunky. If you can kind of just hang and keep that at the ready if we need that, if I need a break because, I'm weak. I'm just kidding. Let me, I have it up here somewhere. Where do I have it? Okay. Oh, you know what? This will be linked. This thread will be linked at Hagmann PI. All you have to do is go to HagmannPI.com, click on the headline when the show is up, and then you'll see the links to every piece that I'm using today, with the exception of the investigative reports for the FBI. Okay, so I'm working on a few things just to make sure I don't end up in not here, okay, at some point. All right. So if you click on page or thread one, election fraud, Emerald Robinson came right out. Man, I'll tell you what, laid out some stuff. If you haven't seen it, ooh. And I couldn't understand why. Because what gets me, okay, so I got a problem with single posts that really they're not connected. Why not just write an article or a report and publish it and then publish a link? And I guess I answered my own question earlier. It's for visibility. It's to avoid, constant censorship. So like it or don't, there it is. So if you go to Eric the Tech, if you pull up Emerald Robinson's thread or non-thread, just postings, and there are numerous postings, and there you go. Thank you. So number one, is they're numbered for the chronology of the pieces of the report. It starts out, and this is a pinned post. It's time to explain exactly what happened on Election Day 2024. And she writes, this will be a very long thread. It's not a thread. It's just a long thought process involving independent threads or independent posts. Quite a few people over 4 years. Now, she focuses on the 4 years, but this goes back again to pre-08 times. All right. So right underneath that, unnumbered, the story of how the 2024 election was saved is now breaking on multiple fronts. Gary Bernson did a show with Laura Logan. We just saw a couple of pieces of that. Patrick Byrne went on InfoWars. Patrick Byrne plays a big part in this, okay? This basically cost him everything that he had, almost. He's got more than most still, but, you know. All the stuff that he made on Overstock and such. All right. And writes Emerald, look what real Donald Trump is telling you now. Do you still doubt my sources? So in response, Donald Trump wrote, we must focus all our energy and might on election fraud. Well, I think that was already in play, given the given the dual nature of why there's this heavy naval presence in the Caribbean. We'll get to that in a moment. All right. So, yeah, this is going to be tough here. Okay, so let me see. I think down below. Okay, yeah. If you go down below that, where she writes, this is the most important thread in the history of social media. It's 120 plus tweets. It explains what happened to America after the stolen election. Now, embedded in there, and that's right, that little box there. If you click on that box, there is the thread. All right. But there's also an independent posting of each post. So let's follow along just for a moment. In this iteration of this explanation, number two is, let's begin the story in December of 2020. Now, she can go back further, but why? Because President Trump wanted election fraud investigated. And this is important because this answers a lot of what we're seeing today. He told his team to hire someone to discover the truth about the voting machines. Multiple sources tell me an ex-CIA investigator who was hired for the, an ex-CIA investigator was hired for the job. That investigator, number three, that investigator reported the claims of the election fraud were overblown. Let me read that again. That investigator reported that claims of election fraud were overblown. Some DOJ lawyers also wanted election fraud investigated. But those efforts were blocked by AG Bill Barr's staff, including his chief of staff, Will Levy. Levy threatened to quit if any cases were launched. You know. Okay, so in December of 2020, a group of national security analysts briefed the White House that enough evidence of election fraud existed to launch a full U.S. government investigation. Now, in 2021, January, several GOP senators were briefed as well. Neither the White House nor the senators authorized the investigation, right? Excuse me. That was in 2021. Remember who was in the White House. And remember, the composition of the House, or the Congress, I should say. Right. So, number five. A few people tried to alert President Trump about national security analyst briefing and the need for a full investigation in late 2020, but those efforts were blocked by one of my favorite people, Pat Cipollone. Wouldn't you know it, Cipollone joined Bill Barr's law firm on January 17th, 2024. You know, I was talking to Steve Quayle today. I guarantee you, and I'll tell you this right now, those closest to you will do you. So Chris Krebs, you remember him, right? Head of CISA. Inside the DHS sent out a press release in late 2020 saying that, hey, you know what? This election was the flippin' most secure election in all of American history and all of the world history and intergalactic history and forever and ever and ever. You know, Chris Krebs, hired by DHS head Chad Wolf. Now, the book goes into some of this. The interview skirts this a little bit, doesn't really get into detail, but okay. So Krebs was hired because he was Wolf's close friend. He worked at CISA, but he also coordinated organizations like Democracy Works to prepare for the 2020 election. So this was all prepared far in advance. So Trump removed Esper. Trump fired Krebs a week after he dismissed Defense Secretary Mark Esper. Trump removed Esper. Chris Miller and Ezra Cohen were rushed into the Pentagon on November 11th because Esper stopped responding to the White House. White House officials feared a soft coup was taking place. On November 18th, Miller put all special forces under his direct command. This is some heavy stuff. Now, think about this for a second. What was that dust up last week? You know, the seditious six saying, don't follow any illegal orders. Is that just kind of fall out of nowhere? Now, Emerald said when she was deposed by Dominion lawyers in 2024, she was asked specifically about this tweet from November 10th, 2020, because it was, I was told, the first mention on social media of a link between Smartmatic and Dominion. That is an important point. We won't go down that road. You can go down that road yourself. And then she goes into a lot of stuff here. I want to get to the bottom line here. The details are critically important. I shouldn't over or understate them. If you go to point 12 or post 12, on November 19th, 2020, Giuliani and Sidney Powell held a press conference at RNC headquarters. Powell claimed that Dominion brand machines were using Smartmatic software. She claimed that Smartmatic software were developed in Venezuela or was developed in Venezuela for dictator Hugo Chavez. Have you noticed Portland? Other places throughout the United States, Hugo Chavez merch. shirts. Yeah. Just saying, you know, oh, it's just a coincidence. No, no. This is all, none of this, none of, and nothing that we're seeing is, it's all by design. It's all planned. Nothing is organic. There's the indoctrinated, and then there are the people who are doing the indoctrination. And then there are the cannon fodder out there, the trans furry morons, right? Just say it. And then above all of that, you've got this State Department CIA operation previous at that level, directing some of these foot soldiers. But this is not, if you look at all of the entire West, the West is on fire, Islamic invasion, this Marxist stuff. It's pretty much the same. It's worse over in England, but you know what? Or in the UK in general, but guess what? It's coming here. It's already here, but you're going to see it worsen. You think that's organic? No. Okay. So, and this is kind of what people like, I mean, Brandon House wrote the book Marxianity, and Brandon's a friend of mine. We talk, and I mean, there's all of these pieces throughout the years. Now we're seeing everything come together. And obviously the elections in this case, because of the way the investigation was conducted, the results, and the way it was done. Now, I'm going to tell you how close we came. Really close. We came close to old Harris being, you know, Cackles being in the knee pads, being in the White House. All right. So let me see if I can go through this. So down a few. On December 18th, Trump met with Sidney Powell, Michael Flynn, oversaw CEO Patrick Byrne at the White House. They urged Trump to launch an investigation of the voting machines. White House staffers Pat Cipollone, Eric Hirschman, and Derek Lyons all argued against doing it. Nothing like, hey, you know what? With friends like that, you don't need flippant enemies, right? So this is an important point too. 15 December 18 was also the due date for DNI Ratcliffe to submit a report to Trump on foreign interference in the 2020 elections. Guess what, Ratcliffe's? I guess he left his date book at the, you know, at home. Missed it. His report didn't come out conveniently until when? January 7th of 2021. Well, now, his report did state that the CIA management actively suppressed intel that China interfered in the 2020 election, which they did by their vassal states and their Maoists. You get the idea, right? So the CIA was hiding China's role in the 2020 election, and it gets, and it's treason, but it gets worse. It gets worse. You can read through this. Let me see here. On January 6th, remember what happened on January 6th, right? Now maybe things might be a little bit clearer about what happened at the Capitol. On January 6th, almost 100 House Republicans and more than 12 GOP senators were ready to object to the election results in Congress. And, you know, only an emergency could override that. Because when an emergency does happen, there are special rules that apply in Congress. So you think about that. Less than 10 minutes before, two reps called for a vote for motions to suspend the certification of that election. You know what happened. You know what happened. J6 happened. Key leaders were escorted out. And isn't it interesting that Harris wasn't in the Capitol at that time? Nah, she's over at the DNC. What's she doing there? Okay. Are you guys bored with us? So, yeah, January 6th was staged, obviously. Tier 1 operators, FBI agents present today in the crowd. You know that First Amendment rights, of course. Look, the whole thing was just a setup. I mean, you know. And Robinson goes into great detail about January 6th in the Washington field office, saying that if they were on the mall, they were required to give a full statement. Some agents who didn't volunteer were identified by others. You know. Yeah, Johnny was there. I saw him there. I gave my say, Johnny, he was there. So FBI agents and assets had to give statements, primarily FBI. And as Emerald Robinson notes, those 302s are still secret in the Patel/Bongino FBI. Hey, look, it is what it is. I just said, so I believe him about crooks acting alone. I believe him about, I believe everything they say. Don't you? All right. Folks, you can read through this. Yeah, on January 7th, the next day, of course, President Trump was banned from Twitter. Isn't that convenient? January 8th, 2021, Sidney Powell, Michael Flynn, Patrick Byrne were also banned from Twitter. The coup was complete and the era of government censorship began. And folks, I will say this is still going on. And then comes the lawfare as detailed by Emerald Robinson. And you notice how quickly everyone folded with respect to the lawfare. You mentioned Dominion. You mentioned Smartmatic. You mentioned this. You mentioned that. We're going to sue you. Fox caves. Dominion's lawyers are Sussman Godfrey, LLP. If you know, you know. And those that law firm will come up again. So it was carnage out there with lawfare. Trump, by the way, was impeached for the second time on January 13th, 2021. It's not enough to, you know, steal an election. You got to smack the guy around and you know, hey. 1 week before his term expired, the House adopted one article against him, which was an incitement of insurrection. Yeah, okay, bite me. It wasn't. And see, again, when it's explained slowly and kind of laid out this way, it, now, you know something? Even more context is added to the seditious six statement about not following or don't follow illegal orders. I won't stick my hand down the garbage disposal when it's on either. So don't have to tell me twice. Everybody went along with this, right, left, middle, everybody went along with this. Biden got in office on January 20th, 2021, of course. As one of its first acts, Biden regime allowed China to access the U.S. power grid. And isn't it interesting? China accessing the U.S. power grid. Remember the Hunter Biden, remember the laptop from hell? Oh, it was salacious. Yeah, it was drug-filled. Yeah, it had guns and drugs and all that. But some of the information there linked pedo, potato head Joe, and Hunter and other associates to CCP, the CCP. And Ukraine and other places, but you get the idea. which is why, of course, everyone had to censor the story about the Biden laptop. And I've seen people say, well, the Wiener laptop is more salacious. Yeah. Yes. How quickly shiny things distract you. This is key here. All of these people, remember that when Trump won in 2016, remember that iconic photograph of all of those people outside of the White House, just kind of their arms folded. And they're like, they got the sourest looks on their faces. All of those people from the West Wing ideologues, Psaki with her CCP hat on, her communist hat on. Remember that? Makes more sense now. Fast forward 4 years later, we're not going to let that happen again. Look, follow this. There's a whole lot more to this. And follow the, finish watching the video of, let me just check the title. Finish watching the video. I'm going to close that. In fact, I want to just pull up one more piece on that video and then close with that, if you don't mind, Eric the Tech, just to kind of tie this together. They do go into detail about Benghazi, about the top of the second hour on this. But if you go to, do we do this? 111:42. Do we do that yet? If we didn't, I don't think we did. Did we? 111:42. Go ahead. Let's see if we did.
The internet, and you look for articles about it, there's hardly anything.
No, because they crush anyone
who dares
talk about it.
That's right. It's been wiped.
That's what they do.
It's been wiped.
That's why they say your conspiracy theory.
It took us this long to get them designated. Yesterday they were designated. Donald Trump, God bless him. You know, he went after them. He made them a specially designated terrorist organization. Look, Trump is getting briefed on this stuff. But there are a small army of advisors, and a lot of them out of South Florida, that are doing everything possible to stop Donald Trump and Pete Hegseth from moving against the cartel. Well, just almost every political figure you can imagine down there. Look, the partner of the cartel has been Chevron. Chevron was the only oil company that didn't leave. And so they've been providing them money. They stayed in Venezuela and been pouring money into their coffers. Shame on you people at
Chevron. How many people are on Chevron's payroll?
Oh, there's lobbyists every place.
What about leaders, elected officials, journalists?
I don't know about that, but probably a lot. They're paying lobbyist companies. They're paying journalists, and they're paying influencers. Look, it is Chevron money down there, and it's the cartel's money, and the amount of money is obscene because they just go buy companies. If they don't like you and they have a problem with you and you have a $10 billion company, they just buy your company. Yeah. No problem.
And get rid of you.
So
let me ask you.
Let me just say one thing. So one example of how deeply the system is penetrated after the 2020 election, when the Trump campaign realized something went wrong here, right? They hired a company called Berkeley Research Group to do an audit of the election. And Berkeley Research Group is one of the, there are a handful of really prestige security companies that, very high level, Berkeley Research Group, Kroll International, that do these big international investigations. So they hire a Berkeley Research Group for probably millions of dollars. Who is running Berkeley Research Group is a guy who we know is a Cuban spy, who's an American, who, of course, put out a report to the Trump administration and leaked it to the press saying there was the 2020 election was completely legitimate. There wasn't
any secure
anything.
Election in history.
That's right.
The Trump campaign hired the cartel
so they
in 2020 to do the investigation on whether it was.
Because
they didn't know it
because it's so deeply penetrated in so many areas. It's like, well, who do you turn to get an honest report on what's going on? And in this case, the only honest report came from Gary and his partner, right? Who are whistleblowers who were just, one of them's not even an American citizen, but they just were They saw what was going on, and they thought it was wrong, and they risked their lives. And
okay, Eric, you know, can you and folks, you can watch. I encourage you to watch this entire video. Can you go to 2:10, 2 hours and 10 minutes, or click the 2:10:09, I guess, according to the prompt, and we'll finish this part. And again, like Saki, I'll circle back and connect some more dots. But 2:10:09, here it is.
Until those guys got into office.
Recently,
and then they specialize in leaving Americans behind, betraying their people. It's disgusting.
Disgusting is right.
Yeah. Well, let's hope. I know, I'm sure you've missed your flight by now, Gary. Okay. I'm not apologizing. I've been waiting to pin you down for years.
It was a cheap ticket.
I'm a cheap date.
I had a ticket from Austin to Orlando for $90. I can lose the ticket.
Well, hopefully you've got time to change it. I just want to thank you both. I'm not a very good salesperson. So this is not a sales pitch. This is something I can honestly tell people. This is one of the most important books that you will ever read in your life. You don't have to take Gary's word for it or your word for it, Ralph. Read the book and make up your own mind, because if we don't fix this, then we're in real, real trouble. And it's the same if there's no accountability. If you read this and you decide that you want to see these people held accountable and you raise your voice, you know, maybe we'll get what is needed.
Yes.
But midterms are coming up. 47 congressional seats up for grabs.
Mm-hmm.
Democrats only need 6 to flip the House.
Yeah, look at what just happened in New York City. We don't want that happening in other cities and counties across the country.
I mean, seriously.
Yeah, seriously.
Yeah, we've got a lunatic jihadist, a Marxist running, the New York, less than 25 years after
incredible.
3,000 Americans were killed on 9/11.
If you had told people back then that this would happen, they
okay, if you had told people this would happen back on 9/11 or in the aftermath of 9/11, they would have called you crazy. We didn't. And they didn't. I'm going to show you something. Kind of circle back in the manner of Jen Psaki, that comrade communist twit. I got to be careful. I think I uploaded some things I probably shouldn't have uploaded to Eric. All right. It's good. Open up, if you don't mind, open up the top one, best one PDF. And all of this information was made known during the Bush, the Shrub presidency. Everything you need to know about George Bush and about Pence and about that whole clan, all you have to do is watch the footage from Cheney. Oh, you see, wait a minute, I saw this. You should. No, not this. You didn't see this. Mm-mm. You did not see this last Thursday. Nope, you didn't. I started talking about the Lackawanna Six. I mentioned Bridges TV. All right. Now, you can scroll down to the the formatting went askew. Right there. Just okay. The formatting went askew. There is a location in downtown Buffalo, New York. It was a convent turned into an Islamic center. And all of the pieces of property around this Islamic center were being purchased up by the Islamic Society of North America and people involved or associated with CARE. So we began to do surveillance. It was started in 2004 and went right through 2008. And the more surveillance we did, the worse things got. And then I appeared with Tom Bowerly on WBEN in Buffalo. And, of course, I got to tell you, Tom, I got to give him credit, man. He went after them as hard as I did. But you know what? We were... I don't think I've ever had so much pushback from anybody after those. I got a crap ton of pictures of me being in studio with Tom. I was going to show you a couple, but you know what? But this picture, I'll get to that picture in a moment. Just remember what you see right there. What do you see? For the other listeners, you see what? You see a figure apparently playing around on the left side behind the chain link fence on the left side above a stack of pallets. And apparently this kid is just, this young man is just playing around, right? That's what the media would tell you. That's what everyone would tell you. It's just, and then that's what the imam of that mosque would tell you. Let me show you the Islamic Center. Scroll down to the next picture. This is there you go. This covers an entire city block in downtown Buffalo, New York. And we had eyes on this. We had eyes on this for a long time. Long time. And what's interesting about this, this used to be a convent. Eric the Tech, if I can impose upon you to open up, let's see, BEST 02, it's down a ways. It's probably 2, 4, 6 from the bottom of the folder. Because we were very, myself, my partners, and Randy Taylor was there. We all pitched in, did surveillance over the course of a couple of years, over a number of years, and we were watching things happen. And I got curious, what's in that place? What's that place look like? Because you see, the imam there offered us a tour. And when I say us, I mean me. And after the radio broadcast, Tom Bowerly, I said, come on, we'll give you a tour. We'll show you that there's nothing innocuous or nothing nefarious here. Everything's up, up and up. Everything is fine. So I went down and I got this. This is BEST 02. It's an image. If you want to show that when you can, I know it's a process, folks, getting this into the, there you go. So I went down and I got the blueprints. This is part of them, but just to show you, I did my diligence. I got the blueprints. There's actually more than that, but just to show you. And it lays out like the entire design, the interior and such, and where things are and should be. And I noticed that there were several notations. You can put that down, or you can leave it up. I don't care. But here's the thing. I noticed that there were several notations that there was a tunnel system underneath that, because back when it was a convent, the sisters used tunnels. Just about every convent I ever saw. I mean, I was a kid going to Catholic elementary school. My mom was friends with one of those nuns, and I'm one of those playing detective back then, and I found a tunnel in the basement from the convent to the church. My mom said, do they still use My mom said, do they still use that? Oh, yeah, yeah, they still use that. Okay. If you don't mind, giving go back to Best now, the first document. This was all turned over to the appropriate authorities, law enforcement, FBI, and all this. I don't know if I've ever showed this before. If I have, forgive me. If I haven't, well, right under the picture that you showed on that document, not that one. Of course, that was Best too. That was the other one. And there were more pages, but I wanted to show you, I did my homework. And I showed them to Tom, and Tom says, ooh, there's tunnels under here. Interesting. And there's actually underground storage. I do have audio of the imam saying, no. There's not here. Mm-mm. So Tom and I were invited on a tour. And we said, okay, we'll go there. Imam. That's his name, imam. Sure, we'll go on a tour. But you're going to have to allow us free rein to look in places that, you know, we want to look at. No, you know, we'll give you the tour. We're gracious enough to you, but you can't just wander off on your own. No, we, you know, bring the blueprints and the notations. I don't know the official word when you make, anyway. And we'll show you where we want to go. Nope. And so what happened was, after that, a couple of city officials went on this tour and proclaimed everything is fine. I want you to think, remember the Butler attempted assassination of President Trump, where, you know, a man was killed and two seriously wounded? Remember that? Remember the guided tour that the feds gave, who was it, Corey Mills, or I can't remember, and Benny Thompson, an influencer, a social media big shot, and members of Congress. But they told them where to look. That's why, see, during that time too, my investigator, our investigation with Butler, you want to look? You can, come on. No, we want to go where we. Oh no, no! You've got to stay, in you know, between the velvet ropes here for the tour. So I ask you, and this is nothing. I don't mean to disparage any big time podcaster, influencer, or any member of Congress, for crying out loud. Not me. No. Don't mean to do that. No. But folks in the chat, do you remember that with Butler and how, look, there the showcasings, there's where he was. In fact, I'll lay down here and yes, I can see. And give me a break. Does that make sense to you guys? You see why I don't like guided tours? Eric Tech doesn't like them either. We don't like them. All right. Underneath the Best PDF that you had up initially, a guy by the name of Charlie Fisher, he was a Buffalo Common Council member. I talked to this guy. He said, I've got sources, inside sources. These people at Best are armed and dangerous. They're doing paramilitary training there. Now, was that the case of circular reporting where we filed the report and then they got in? No. This was independent of us. Important point. So that report, the PDF report, and there's a picture, because I cannot post this as a show note. Again, there's information here I got to take a look at, because for a number of reasons. So I'm not trying to hide anything. I just don't want to cause myself any unnecessary angst. So y'all can, y'all, you folks, please just wait a little bit. Just got to get this cleared. So in that report, in that PDF report, underneath that, that picture of the facility, I reported that from the outside, it looks like some type of older prison or fortress where there are 10-foot-high concrete block walls surrounded by a number of stone-built buildings encompassing an entire city block between 10 and Best Streets in the inner city Buffalo, neighborhood of Buffalo, New York. The framework for razor wire is noted on top of the wall surrounding this compound. An entry of the compound is limited to three, count them, three gated areas for this square block. One larger gate for vehicles, while two other gates are more restrictive. Guard shacks, security cameras, portions of razor wire continue to be present on the property. Sounds innocuous to me. Yeah, it began as a Catholic convent in 1855, was sold in 1968, became the State Division for Youth Detention Center Drug Treatment Facility when that was, you know, a thing, right? Yeah. And after the state of New York left the facility, he said, eh, we don't want this no more. It remained unoccupied until November of, guess what, year 2001. That's right, you win the prize. Just after 9/11, when the Institute of Higher Islamic Education purchased the building under the direction of Imam Ibrahim Mohammed Mimon. Now, should add that he also operates at another place, similar school on Sobieski Street in Buffalo. And boy, you got to pull the property records. Oh, my goodness. You got to see the purchase. You think BlackRock is something about purchasing buildings? Ooh, doggy. These people give them a run for their money. And it's also important to note here, and we turn this over based on our investigation, guess what? The people that are being trained at that location, they're not, a lot of them aren't citizens. So what does that mean? They're illegals. Huh. It's just a thing. It's a coincidence. All right. So, and guess where a lot of these come from? Eric, the tech, do we have a situation putting that back up or no? Can we do that? Please. No, I tell you what, there's a map on page, it's pages aren't numbered, but look at me. I know there's a map, the third page, fourth page down. Location, the Institute of Higher Islamic Education. There it is right there. So, look, you've got to take a look at this in the larger sense, okay? From an investigative viewpoint, why there? Yeah, the building suits certain things, but look at the location. So a lot of those individuals came across the Peace Bridge into the U.S., but of course they didn't originate. They're not Canadian citizens. No. You know what I mean? That's all I'm going to say about that. Okay. And if you scroll down, you can see what I was talking about. The next picture notice the nubs for the razor wire on top of that fence, this concrete wall. And behind that wall, there's a lot of stuff behind that wall. Ask me how I know. Okay. Quickly, excuse me,